Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wallbuilders. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. I'm Rick Green here with David and Tim Barton. And David, Tim, we've got another legislator today. We've got a Utah representative with us by the name of Mike Peterson. We're going to be talking about his Ten Commandments bill in Utah. And of course, guys, this is one we've talked about for years and years and years here on Wallbuilders and talked about at our legislators conference. And another reminder to folks to make sure their legislator knows about it. And if you want to support getting good legislation like this by getting good legislators getting together to talk about these things, go to wallbuilders.com today and make a contribution. And you're helping us not only to train legislators, but pastors going to our pastors' briefings in D.C., all the different trainings that we do throughout the summer with young people and teachers and everything else. It's a great way to invest in freedom. So check that out today at wallbuilders.com. But guys, so this one today, though, on the Ten Commandments bill, this one has a chance for a lot more momentum now that we've had the Coach Kennedy case, we've got the chaplain bills and other things. There's a lot of good momentum in state legislatures on religious liberty issues.
Yeah, there is. And one of the things I think is worth pointing out, Tim and I just finished the book, The American Story, Building the Republic. And so it looks at the first seven presidents. And one of the things we really focused on was Washington. When he left office after 45 years of service, he gave his farewell address.
How long was he the president?
45 years of service. I didn't say president.
I'm just saying that's a long time as an elected official.
It was a two terms, and it lasted a long time, those two terms. So that's military service, state legislature.
Although,
Congress.
As long as we're talking about 45 years of service, you know, interesting point. How long was he a state legislator?
He was a state legislator. Almost 20 years.
Yeah, I think it was 17 or 18 years, right?
Almost 20.
Here's what's interesting. Our good friend Rick Green would have opposed George Washington being a state rep.
Good point.
Because, right, our good friend Rick Green is like, wait a second, guys. Term limits, he shouldn't be there anymore. I feel like, was it last week we talked about George Washington being the number one guy?
How much better his farm would have been if he'd been able to go home, take
country
care of the farm.
Country wouldn't have been good, but the farm would have been great.
But you did say state legislature, right, that he served that long?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think my kids have actually convinced me to be for congressional term limits, federal term limits, and not state term limits. So I might be able to slide your way on this one.
So you still would have supported George Washington. Okay. Okay, good. Well, Dad, I apologize. I didn't mean to derail you. I just, so he was an elected official.
How long have we had this battle on term limits going?
Oh, man, at least 20 years. But the best story from this whole thing ever was that time in Idaho when you got there early to speak at Patriot Academy. And I didn't know you were against term limits, and so I came in and I thought it was just you and me in the room, and my son Rhett was sitting over in the corner working on his computer, and I didn't know it. And I said, hey David, make sure you hit term limits. We want to really tell him about why that's important to do. And you said, I'm against term limits. And so he used that on the floor to kill the bill later because he found out you were. So, anyway, we've had fun with this for a long time.
Yeah, we have. It's great. And we could disagree and be friends. How come we can't do this on the national level?
No kidding, man.
We don't have to think exactly the same. We have the same heart for stuff. So back to Washington. Washington, after 45 years, says, okay, guys, here's all this wisdom I've garnered over these years, and here's the things you need to remember to help make America work the way it should. So his farewell address, there's probably a dozen different warnings in there, but it was so significant that we studied that in school for generations. And what we found when we looked at the first seven presidents was when they made major mistakes, in every case it was because they ignored one of the principles in Washington's farewell address. And what we learned is, just like out of 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. You can use the Constitution in a way that it becomes a very abusive tool if you don't use the spirit of the Constitution. You just take the literal wording and you can misapply it. But if you use the spirit, you get it right.
And to be clear for those listening, the spirit of the Constitution was largely outlined in the Declaration.
That's right.
Right? Where the Declaration is where we get the idea, where do our rights come from? They come from a creator. And government exists to protect those rights. And the rights identified, the first of those was life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Well, this is where even the anti-slavery founding fathers, and really John Quincy Adams going forward, when he does so much fighting slavery, he points out that not only does the founding document, when he said this, meaning the Declaration, say that all men are created equal, they pointed out that slavery was a violation of the laws of nature, which the Declaration also pointed out. Well, the Constitution didn't say those things. Those things were outlined in the Declaration. The Declaration was the spirit. The Constitution was the letter of the law, Dad, to make this point. So when you can follow the Constitution and still do things that are anti-American, it's because you are going against the spirit of what was written there. You can use the letter and you can use it to be, right, very, very kind of pharisaical, yeah, right? Very legalistic, and it not be beneficial for the American people if you don't have the right heart and spirit in what you're doing.
And what we make really clear and show really clearly in the new book, and by the way, it's a great book to get. You'll learn a lot about America, but the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell Address are the two documents that will keep us on track when you apply the Constitution. You take the Constitution, use the spirit of the Declaration, the spirit of Washington's Farewell Address. And one of the things Washington said was that religion and morality are indispensable supports. He said, if you want your politics to work well, do not separate religion and morality. And yet, that's exactly what the court did starting back in the 1960s. And so we went for a period of roughly 50 years where the court said, no, can't have religion in public. And it was through a decision known as the Lemon decision. They created a Lemon test. And over 7,000 cases, federal cases, where the court used that test to eliminate religion from public. That violates the spirit of the Constitution. So what's happened, we've had the court in the last 3 years come up with four decisions saying, no, Lemon test wasn't a good test. And finally, in 22, they said the Lemon test is out the door. We vacate the Lemon test. 7,300 court decisions were wrong when we made them.
And very specifically, they didn't, when you're saying they came up with this idea that, like, the modern court, they came up and said, hey, we're not doing that anymore. No. I mean, to go a little deeper on this, to be a little more specific, they didn't just come up with this. What they pointed out was the original decision contradicts Constitution.
That's
and
right.
They never referenced the Constitution.
That's
to
right.
Do these original decisions. In fact, in some of these decisions, they said they were doing it without precedent. Well, without precedent means that this has never been done before, right? That this is a violation of the Constitution. And so the modern justices said that we recognize this was a bad decision from the beginning because it was unconstitutional. And they're saying we're going back to follow the Constitution. Therefore, all these unconstitutional things, we're throwing those out the window. Well, that's really good news. But one of the things they threw out the window, Dad, to your point, was the Lemon test, which was used largely to exclude religion from public. And the Lemon test is what was used back in 1980, the case Stone v. Graham, where the Supreme Court said you can't display copies of the Ten Commandments out in public. You can't display those specifically in school because kids aren't supposed to see the Ten Commandments. That's a violation of religion, separation of church and state. You can't have religion. And so in 1980, according to the Supreme Court decision, the Ten Commandments were, for the first time, in any kind of legal perspective, removed from public schools. Well, now with this Lemon test being removed, which was the standard they used in 1980, the standard now that says you can't have the Ten Commandments is gone, which means we can have the Ten Commandments again if we can find states that are willing to do this. And the good news is, we talked about yesterday with Rep. Zachary from Tennessee, we've been very connected with a lot of state legislators for a lot of years, and we pointed out to them, guys, just so you know, landscape has changed, legal framework has changed, let's go back to history, let's go back to early education, let us show you some of these things from history, the New England Primer, right? Noah Webster's history books, let us show you some of these early textbooks, and you know what they focused on? The Ten Commandments was a major theme in early American education, and it was in education all the way to the 1980s. There are now states actually working to restore the basis of morality in the Western Hemisphere, in the Western world, and in America, which is largely rooted in the Ten Commandments. And so this is something that we actually get to talk to someone today who is working to restore the Ten Commandments in the educational structure in their state.
Mike Peterson is his name. He's a state rep in Utah, and he'll be with us when we come back from the break. Stay with us, folks. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation, so really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first seven presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
Welcome back to Wallbuilders. Thanks for staying with us. We got Representative Mike Peterson with us from Utah. Mike, how you doing, brother? Thanks for coming on, man.
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for giving me a chance to talk.
Absolutely. Thanks for doing the Ten Commandments. This is so good. We need this all over the country, you know, restoring the basics of what makes for a good society. I'm guessing you got some pushback on this, but seems like the people are with you and they want to see this restoration of these basic values.
You know, I'm glad you call it the restoring, because that's one of the things I kept telling people was, this is not about, I'm not just trying to put them in, I'm trying to put them back. We used to have Ten Commandments all over the country, including in schools, and we need to put them back. It's not by accident, I think, that our children are growing up the way they are and having the struggles that they are. But as far as pushback, it's been a little rough sledding for the last several weeks, but I've thought many times, Rick, about what is John Quincy Adams talking about? Duty is ours.
That's right.
Adults are God's. And I just put my head down and prayed, kept going. And I knew the folks there at family and wall builders were praying for me. And it all worked out.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, let's back up to the bill itself. What specifically does the bill do? And then, and I know y'all just now finished your session.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how everything turned out.
So what the bill says is that we took the piece of code, you know, the statute that talks about American history and government curricula, and said, and it included a list of documents that a teacher would use in teaching American history and government. It included, you know, the Constitution and the Mayflower Compact, but 10 or 12 different items. And I said, why don't we put the Ten Commandments in there? Add that to it. I also added the Magna Carta. Magna Carta, of course, didn't raise a single question. Nobody asked me about that. Nobody called and gave me hate mail for that one. But the Ten Commandments, so it was very simple. Just add that back into the curriculum that teachers could use when they have their discussions about American history and government.
Yeah. Yeah, and not even necessarily saying you got to spend this much time on this one and this much time, just saying, hey, these are resources that allow you to show the kids where we came from, what produced this society we know of as American exceptionalism.
You know, and it's interesting, Rick, because most people can recognize that the Ten Commandments are the foundation, are a foundational document. I mean, you can't go into the Supreme Court of our country. You can't go into our House of Representatives and not see artwork depicting the great lawgivers, including Moses. And so most folks recognize that. You know, a lot of the pushback comes because they're so confused about, Mike, if we do this, do we have to have the seven tenets of Satanism? Do we have to have the Quran? And, you know, so there was lots of discussions, lots of education that had happened to help folks understand how that worked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how about your colleagues just in the legislature? What was that like?
Well, so that when I first talked about it 3 or 4 months ago that I'd been working on it and I was ready to go, I had several say, Mike, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And in fact, I met with Speaker of the House 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago in his office. And he said, Mike, thanks so much for what you've done, because 3 days ago, I would have thought what you're doing was unconstitutional. So there was a lot of pushback, even among my own colleagues, who thought it was inappropriate that you couldn't do this. And I'll tell you what, there were even a few who, after it passed, that asked me, please don't ever do this again. Don't ever do a messaging bill like this again. It just makes it too hard. Which I had to explain. It wasn't a messaging bill. It's I felt called to help us put the Ten Commandments in there, and I don't regret what I did.
Yeah, they basically said, hey, man, you're making our job too hard. Well, wait a minute. You're elected to deal with these issues, and the culture's falling apart. We clearly need to be getting back to spring training, getting back to the basics that make the country great in the first place. So I guess when does it go into effect?
So it'll get signed in. The governor could sign it any day now, and I think it goes into effect May, the end of May is when
Excellent.
It would happen.
So next school year, then it would be effect. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's great, man. I you know, every time I see one of these bills, I think back to the Supreme Court's Stone v. Graham case and the idea that that we would ever say as a nation that it's not a good idea to teach kids not to murder, not to steal, not to deceive. You know, it seems like it's just common sense. And I'm assuming that's where some of your conversations went, not only with constituents, but colleagues that, you know, look, it's really part of our job to mold citizens that have a healthy respect for these basic values.
You know, to be honest, Rick, that would come up, but most of the concern was about constitutionality. Was about have you never heard the statement separation of church and state?
Well, how did you respond when they'd say, "Have you ever read the Constitution?"
Well, in fact, so I'll tell you what. So when I first, I don't know what the process was like for you and your Texas legislature, but for us, we have a team of the legislative LRGC, Legislative Research and General Counsel. There's 60 or 70 attorneys that write the bills for us. And I put in my request, told them what I wanted, and so a few weeks passed, and the one that had been assigned to this bill called me and let me know, stammering, "We'll do it. We do whatever. You know, you're the boss, but it's unconstitutional." And I said, to be honest, I was giggling inside because I've been waiting for this conversation to happen. And he said, "It's unconstitutional." And I asked him, "So, in what way is that?" And he said, "Well, are you familiar with the phrase separation of church and state?" And I said, "Actually, I am. Do you know where that comes from?" And he said, "No, not really." So I was able to teach for 30 minutes or so. I went off on Thomas Jefferson and the Danbury Baptists. And in fact, I read him the letter, and I sent him a copy of the letter.
Okay.
And that's what I've done countless times, helping people to recognize that in fact, Thomas Jefferson wasn't putting up a wall to prevent you from practicing your religion. He was putting up a wall that the government wouldn't prevent you from practicing your religion. And we need to get back to that. So that's really what the conversations were about, more the constitutionality more than the value of it. You know, the Ten Commandments themselves.
You know, Mike, what you just described, this is why I love my, you know, it's a definition of success that my friend Nicole Tice, who runs the Family Policy Council out in Delaware, where, you know, they're constantly fighting the leftists, and she also runs our Patriot Academy out there. But she says, you know, we learn to define success as advancing truth. And I say that to say, even if you hadn't passed the bill, even if it hadn't passed, right, if it wasn't going into effect, those conversations you just described, that's advancing truth. And
exactly.
So by filing the bill, and I hope our legislators that are listening from around the country that are in, you know, bluer states where they feel like I could never get this passed, just by filing it, by having the discussions that you had there in Utah, that's advancing truth, and it's getting people educated on the truth of the First Amendment and what separation of church and state actually means, and that language is not actually in the all those things that you did, so important to do, and I would think that was rewarding for you even in the process.
You know, I you're exactly right. And I told my wife numerous times, even if we don't get it passed, heart would be broken. To pass, I was so grateful and so excited that, you know, you mentioned the conversations in Utah, but Rick, I had people around the country reaching out. So the conversation, the ripples were everywhere. But by the way, that brings up a point I want to make with you. I got a lot of pushback, absolutely. And most I was able to respond by using history. But one of the interesting things is some people would send me quotes, you know, a little random quote from Thomas Jefferson. I can't remember the act when they were with the pirates over in the Barbary Coast. Or they would bring up these off the wall stories. Oh, Jefferson carried a Quran with him. Well, they don't know anything about it. So I was able to tell them, "Do you know why he was carrying a Quran with him? Do you know why he said such and such?" And it was awesome to be able to do that. So, in fact, I had somebody on Facebook last week send me an unkind message, and it contained an image that had four quotes from different founders. And I asked him, "Would you please send me the original sources for those quotes?" Conversation ended. We'd gone a few different times, and when I finally asked that, the conversation was over. Wow. they have no response. They don't. Unfortunately, too many people don't rely on original sources.
Yeah.
They just talk in this bubble, in this chamber. They just keep talking the same things over and over again, and don't ever look what did the framers really intend.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. I laughed so hard when Rob Reiner went on Joe Scarborough's show and just adamantly, he was so adamant that separation of church and state was in the Constitution three times. I mean, he's just like, it's in there three times. And so yep. it's not enough to lie about it being in there once. He had to go to the extreme of it's in there three times. And of course, no one on the panel said, raised a hand and said, well, actually, it's not in there at all. Yeah. Of course, they all nodded and said, yeah, it sure is. I mean, I think they actually believe it, right? I mean, they're in this echo chamber and they say it over and over and over again and they believe it. So it's almost like it's a shock whenever someone like you comes in and you start talking about this and then they challenge you and then you show them original sources and they go, wow, jaw on the ground. Yeah. Truth just changed
minds. They thought I was crazy. They thought I was the misinformed one, and that was fun to be able to, I don't know if fun's the right word, something ironic. Sometimes it did bring a smile to my face. I'll have to admit, when someone would really challenge me, and I would be able to say, now, which document is that in? Oh, it's in the Constitution, or it's in the Declaration. Just show me where that is.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Oh, Mike,
I got to tell you, Rick, I've learned from Wall Builders these last few years, and the Founders Bible and all the resources that you folks have has been, I am so grateful for all that you folks have published and made available, because that's really what made it possible. That's Amen. What made me, that's what filled my mind with things I could say, so that when it came time, God could remind me and I could say them, because otherwise I would have been just going off my heart. Help me have actual history and words on my side.
That's
so
right.
I'm so grateful for you and Dave and Tim and the whole team, because it's what got me through this.
Well, we appreciate that, man, and we're grateful for you, because it takes people like you willing to take that intellectual ammunition that we provide and use it and actually go out there and stand for truth. You quite literally did exactly what a man of Issachar would do, right? You understand the times and know what to do. So you've got the knowledge, but then you go and do it. And this is just it's a great victory for Utah, good victory for the country, because others will see this and do it in their states. And I'm just looking forward to all the kids in the next, 10, 15, 20 years coming through and getting exposure to truth, and getting that foundation. So, Mike, God bless you, man. Keep up the great work. Thanks for all that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate the time this morning. And again, appreciate so much all that you taught me the last few years.
Well, appreciate you coming on the program. Everybody, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to let you know about an opportunity coming up for pastors and ministry leaders. We are doing our annual pastors briefing in Washington, D.C., and we do this every year. We do one in the spring, we do one in the fall. This spring, it's April 16th and 17th. This fall, it is September 10th and 11th. This is one of the most significant things we do to encourage and challenge pastors in this culture we live in. It's in Washington, D.C., and Tuesday night, we do an after-hours tour of the U.S. Capitol, where we introduce pastors and ministry leaders to the history of the nation. The following day, we have congressmen come and they give a briefing on what they're doing and how God is challenging and motivating and using them. And frankly, most pastors, most ministry leaders, they don't know the rich spiritual heritage of the nation or what God is still doing, moving in the hearts and lives of leaders in this nation. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor ministry leader, you need to come to this. It's one of the best things we do at Wall Builders. To find out more, go to wallbuilders.com and look for the pastor's briefing.
Welcome back to Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. That was Mike Peterson, state rep from Utah, and another Ten Commandments bill passed, guys. So we're moving in the right direction.
That's great news, but I really think great news is how Mike is willing to engage individually with people to change their thinking and change their behavior.
I love that. Yeah.
Critics and people who want to criticize, and he takes the time to educate them and ask them questions and lead them. And asking questions is one of the best ways to teach people. That's what Jesus did. In the Gospels, he asked over 300 questions. He did that to lead people to truth, to help them find truth. And I love the fact that Mike is not just pontificating and saying, hey, I'm a state rep, do what I say. Hey, let me talk to you about what you believe, and can you show me the proof on that? Can you give me evidence? What do you think about that? I think that's great, and I think every Christian should do that.
Well, and that thing, too, in my mind, this reiterates some of what I said yesterday with Representative Zachary, that God has given us such incredible connections with some of these state legislators. And you know, he mentioned he's learned so much of his history from Wall Builders, from the Founders Bible, these incredible resources we have. And he is another great example of someone that God has helped us get connected with, that we can just teach history and show, hey guys, right? One of the most significant things in American education was the Bible. It was the Ten Commandments. This was a foundation. And this is not just us, right, theorizing this. We can go back and actually show the original textbooks, because we have this incredible collection. And this is one of many things we get to do working with these state legislators. And so I would again encourage people, if you want to help Wall Builders reach out and engage more of these state legislators, you can go online, you can make a donation, help us. Every November, we have a major conference in Dallas, and we have legislators come from all over the nation come to this conference. And maybe you're in a situation that you really should meet your state legislator, get to know them, and then maybe you could even help sponsor them to come, because in so many states, state legislators get paid almost nothing in the majority of states. Maybe you're living in a unique state where they make a little money, but most do not make money. And you might be able to help them come to a conference where they can learn about American history. They can learn about the biblical foundation of the nation, that they can learn about constitutional boundaries and parameters and jurisdictions. They can hear from experts from around the nation on major topics that are happening. And we can then see positive legislation like this happen and spread throughout the nation.
Thanks again to Mike Peterson for joining us from Utah, and thank you for listening today to Wall Builders. Make sure to check out wallbuilders.com today, and make sure you're signing up for one of our Constitution classes, donating there at wallbuilders.com, getting your pastor to a pastor's briefing, and just being involved. Make a difference. You can be a part of the solution. Again, appreciate you listening to The Wall Builders Show.